Very pleased to be joined by Ian McMillan. We know him from Odd Shark. Ian, how are you today, sir?
Doing fantastic, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. It's a Falcons game day. We're all very excited to watch the Atlanta Falcons, probably for the last time this season, as they take on the Carolina Panthers. Do you have a? I know where your heart lies on this one, but where's your head at? Where are you thinking of going for Thursday Night Football tonight?
Yeah, I'm going against my heart. I actually am going to back the Panthers tonight. We've actually seen a little bit of line movement. I actually locked this bet in last night, and I kind of got a bad line at it. I got Panthers -3. It's down to Panthers -1.5 right now, so there is some money coming in on the Falcons. But this is not a good matchup for the Falcons. Panthers already beat them earlier this year. This is when the Panthers beat them earlier. That was Dan Quinn's last game right before he got fired. But the Panthers' passing offense is very good. Teddy Bridgewater continues to be one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league right now. He's second in the NFL in completion percentage, fourth in pass yards per pass attempt. And the Falcons' pass defense is terrible. Second last in opponent passing yards per game, allowing 333.4 yards through the air per game. Third last in opponent completion percentage, second last in opponent average passer rating. So I suspect that Teddy Bridgewater is probably going to have a pretty good game against that Falcons secondary this evening. So and the Panthers are at home as well. Last time they beat them earlier in the season, Panthers were on the road, and now they're at home. Only favored by a point and a half. I love the Panthers tonight. The Falcons offense is good, but their whole organization they need a redo at this point. They need a clean house. So while the Panthers are still, I guess, technically alive for a playoff run, string together a few more wins and they're right there. So I like Panthers to cover tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, and a little surprised that the money is coming in, making that or coming in on the Falcons side, making that line a little bit smaller. Any idea why there would be some support on the Falcons tonight?
I don't necessarily know why. No, that's a good question. I think a lot of people, and I think it happens quite often, is people just look at the Falcons. They see Matt Ryan, who's leading the NFL in passing yards right now. They know they have Julio Jones. They know Calvin Ridley, Todd Gurley. They know how explosive the Falcons offense has been. But to be honest, their play calling has been bad. They haven't been good in the red zone. And the Panthers just aren't quite as sexy of a team as the Falcons are. So the Falcons usually get public money week in and week out. But I'm with you. I don't necessarily get it because I've watched this Falcons team more than any other team. They're just not good.
Moving to Sunday's slate of games, a matchup between a couple of teams who are good. The Pittsburgh Steelers taking on Baltimore. This line opens at 5.5, down to either 3.5 or 4, depending on where you're looking. A little surprised that it opened at 5.5 with Pittsburgh in a pretty well-watched game, putting up a good showing against the Titans, but now down to 3.5. Do you have a lean on what is traditionally a close matchup in the AFC North?
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting games of the weekend, just because of exactly that. It opened up at 5.5, got bet down to 3.5, and still we're seeing around 70% of the bets still coming in on the Steelers as underdogs, but the line hasn't quite moved any lower than that 3.5 mark. This is a game for me where I'm just throwing stats out the window, because if you look at all the stats, the Steelers have to be the pick. They have arguably the best defense in the league so far this season. They have explosive athletes out wide out. They don't have too many holes. Meanwhile, the Ravens, they haven't quite played as well as they have last year. Their offense hasn't looked good whatsoever compared to how good they were last year. So really, it makes no sense why the Ravens are favorites at all, let alone the 5.5-point mark and then still now at the 3.5-point mark. But sometimes you have to throw stats out the window when you're handicapping the NFL, because you do have to remember, don't forget, we're only 7 games into the NFL season. So in any other sport, 7 games would be a tiny, tiny sample size. I don't even bet on Major League Baseball until teams have played 10 games. So you kind of need to not overvalue the fact, the stats so far through only 7 weeks of the NFL season. And another thing that, at least something that I always think about when betting on the NFL, sports books are smarter than me. I'm generally a moron. Most people who bet on sports aren't as smart as sports books are. There's reasons why casinos are basically castles made of gold in Las Vegas. They know what they're doing. There's a reason why they set the line at -5.5 when it first opened up. So I'm just going to throw stats out the window and just kind of go against the public here, and I'm going to take the Ravens, but I don't necessarily have any stats to back it up. I'm just going to trust sportsbooks are smarter than me. They knew what they were doing, setting the line at -5.5. And this is probably a good time to sell high on the Steelers, the only undefeated team left in the NFL. You have to try to treat betting on the NFL like the stock market, buy low on teams, sell high on other teams. And this is the perfect spot to sell high on the Steelers. So for that reason, even though the stats don't back it up, I'm going to take the Ravens this weekend.
Speaking of teams that are ranking pretty high and teams in the low department, the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the New York Jets this week. Kansas City opening with what looks like a college line at 21.5, now down to 19.5, which is still absurd. And yet I'm still sitting here looking like, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that 19, I could make 19.5 work. What do you make of this AFC matchup?
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs to cover that mark. Now, it opened up at that 21.5 mark, which obviously, if you know football, 21 points is 3 touchdowns, 3 extra points. If it stayed at that 21.5 mark, I might have taken the Jets there. But now that it's below 20 at that 19.5 number, I am going to take the Chiefs. But I do have a little bit of history for the listeners out there, because this does kind of go against history. So if we go back to 1987, there's been 13 instances of an NFL team being favored by 20 or more points. The favorite has only covered that spread in 3 of those 13 games. Now, this is obviously it's half a point below 20, but I think the historical stats still kind of are relevant there. So history says the Jets should cover this spread. But the Jets are, like, historically bad this season. One of the stats I start looking at near the halfway point of the NFL season is a stat called net yards per play. It's basically you just take the average amount of yards the team gains on offense per play, subtract the amount of yards given up per play on defense, and that's your net yards per play. The New York Jets so far this season, obviously dead last in net yards per play. That's not surprising, but they're dead last by a mile. Their net yards per play is -1.7. The next closest is the Bengals at -1.1. So 0.6 worse than any other team in the NFL in net yards per play. Their offense is terrible, last in basically every single category. I don't even know if the Jets are going to be able to score any points. So if the Chiefs score 3 touchdowns, that might in theory be enough to cover that spread. So despite it being that high of a spread, and more money is on the Jets right now than the Chiefs, that's kind of what caused the line movement. But regardless of all that, I'm going to take the Chiefs to cover here.
Moving on, I can't remember the last time I saw Buffalo favored against the Patriots. It opens up at -2.5, now up to -4. Obviously, the Patriots have fallen on some hard times after a rough one against San Francisco last week. Another division matchup. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, this one's tough. Bills favored by 3.5. The reasons why it's tough is because both teams have kind of showed Jekyll and Hyde characteristics so far this season. We've seen the Bills beat the Rams, the Dolphins earlier in the season, but then they got destroyed by the Titans and the Chiefs. We saw the Patriots beat up on the Raiders. They're like inches away from beating the Seahawks earlier in the season as well. But then they lost to the Broncos and then got beat up by the 49ers last week. The main thing I'm looking at, I am going to back the Bills to cover that 3.5-point spread. And it's just because I can't trust the Patriots offense whatsoever. The Bills offense, they're still moving the ball, but the Bills are just having issues getting in the end zone. We saw that against the Jets last week. They couldn't score a touchdown. They had, what, like 6 or 7 field goals. But the Patriots offense just can't move the ball, can't do anything. I don't think the Patriots haven't surpassed 12 points in 3 straight games. So they can't put up points whatsoever. They're 29th in points per game. Cam Newton has looked terrible. He can't throw to the right side of the field for some reason. So I am going to back the Bills here, but this is one of the tougher games to call all the week, I think, just because we've seen both teams play very well so far this season, and we've seen both teams play pretty bad so far this season as well. But I am going to take the Bills to cover the 3.5 points.
Chatting with Ian McMillan from Odd Shark here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Staying in the AFC East, it's Tua time in Miami. The rookie quarterback getting a healthy dose of Aaron Donald in his first matchup. Only a 3.5-point favorite, the Rams over the Dolphins right now. I think if you would have made a prediction at the beginning of the year, that would be closer to 13.5 than 3.5. Why so close between the Rams and the Dolphins?
I think a big reason why it's so close is because the Dolphins are coming off a bye week, and then the Rams are coming off the complete opposite, a shortened week. The Rams just played Monday night there against the Bears, while the Dolphins had that extra rest bye week this past week. So I think that's playing into it. a little bit. I'm still going to bet back the Rams here. Generally, you might notice I'm saying I'm taking another favorite. All four games I've talked about, I'm taking the favorite. We've seen underdogs have a very good season so far throughout this year. I don't have the exact number, but they're covering at a much higher rate than favorites are. I think we're going to see a little bit of a regression to the mean. I like a lot of favorites in this weekend of the NFL, and the Rams might be my favorite bet of the week just because it's a very tough spot for Tua to be coming in with his first start. Rams are fifth in sacks per game, so he's going to feel pressured. They're fifth in opponent passing yards per game, first in opponent yards per pass attempt. So they have a very good pass defense, a very good pass rush. It's a tall order for Tua to be coming in with his first start of the season. And also that net yards per play stat that I cited there earlier. The Rams are first in the NFL, or I should say they're tied for first in the NFL in that net yards per play category at plus one. They're tied in first in that stat with the Colts, actually. So I do like the Rams to cover. I think that might be my favorite bet of the week. I got it at minus four. You mentioned it is available, I think, at minus 3.5 a couple spots. So you might be able to get a better number than I did. But Rams to cover is my favorite bet for this weekend.
Skipping ahead to the Sunday nighter, the Dallas Cowboys opened up as 6.5-point underdogs against Philadelphia. That's been, it's kind of all over the place. In some places I'm seeing 3.5, in some places I'm seeing 9 and 9.5, really all over the place, which is kind of fitting for just how awful this game might be. But do you have a lean in this battle of division leaders that we'll be blessed with on Sunday night, or a battle of division rivals, sorry, that we'll be blessed with on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, this one's a tough one. I'm seeing 9 points. If it was below the 7-point mark, below that touchdown mark, then I'd definitely be on the Eagles. To be honest, this is the one game I haven't quite made a call on yet. One of the big reasons why is because I think I've bet on the Cowboys 6 of the 7 weeks so far, and they haven't covered a spread so far this entire NFL season. They're 0-7 against the spread. But I will say one thing about the Cowboys is being 0-7 against the spread. Teams who start off 0-7 against the spread, and I believe the last team to do it, actually, I think you have to go back to the 2006 Miami Dolphins. But historically, I think there's been 8 or 9 teams who have started off their season 0-7 against the spread. Those teams finish the season covering the spread at a rate around, I think it's 66%. So despite you thinking you might not want to bet on the Cowboys whatsoever for the rest of the season, history says if you start off 0-7 against the spread, you're actually a pretty good bet the rest of the way out. And that kind of makes sense because sportsbooks always kind of want to get back to that goal of about 50-50. They never want to make a team just an automatic bet against every single season or every single game, because that would be an easy way to make money. So that's the one game I haven't decided it yet. That -9 is a tough number. I have no idea what we're going to see from Ben DiNucci, who looks like he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys on Sunday night. If I had to pick right now, I would probably go the Eagles, because I'm just sick of betting on the Cowboys personally. They've lost me tough bet so far this season.
Well, and just cheering for the Cowboys just does not seem like a way you want to go about living your life. Like that's just, it's just no fun being on the side of the Cowboys. You do like one play per game on your podcast for the NFL. So any other games that really stand out to you from the NFL schedule this week?
Yeah, I would say another game that I really like is the Vikings and the Packers. I've given out a lot of favorites so far, so this might be my favorite underdog to cover the spread. It's a 7-point spread right now. Vikings are 7-point underdogs. I like the Vikings to cover that spread. I don't know if they'll necessarily beat the Packers. That's a tall order, but I think they can keep it within a touchdown. And a big reason why is their run game. As long as Mike Zimmer can continue to run the ball, they have a very good shot. Dalvin Cook looks like he's going to be back in the lineup for the Vikings. The Vikings are fifth in the NFL in yards per rush attempt. They're averaging 5 yards per carry. Dalvin Cook's even better than that 5 yards per carry mark. He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. So he's going to be a big help being back in the Vikings lineup. And the Packers aren't great at stopping the run so far this season. The Packers are 20th in opponent yards per carry. They're allowing 4.6 yards on the ground per rush. And also if they do continue to run the ball, another bonus of running the ball is that's going to drain the clock. That's going to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. So the longer Aaron Rodgers is off the field, the better chance they have to at least keep it within that mark of a touchdown. It is a divisional matchup as well. Divisional matchups are usually a little bit closer. And the Vikings defense is actually, I think, second in the NFL in third down defense as well. So hopefully they can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. But the big difference is Mike Zimmer needs to run the ball. If he tries to win the game by making Kirk Cousins throw, they're going to be in trouble. But if he runs the ball, they have a good chance to keep it within that touchdown mark. So as far as my favorite underdog of the week to cover the spread, I like Vikings plus 7.
Last one for you. After a fun pay-per-view last Saturday afternoon, the UFC is back in Vegas in a regular time slot with Anderson Silva potentially fighting his last fight in his UFC career. Anything from that card stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, in the main event, it looks like Anderson Silva's last fight. He's a plus 185 underdog against Uriah Hall. I would not bet on Uriah Hall as that big of a favorite whatsoever. The bet to make, I think, is the fight to be finished inside the distance within the five-round mark. That's at around minus 110, so that's basically a coin flip, and I think it will be finished inside the distance. Both guys, especially Anderson Silva, I say I wouldn't bet on Uriah Hall because he's minus 235. But if he does win the fight, I think he's going to finish Anderson Silva. We've seen Anderson Silva's chin deteriorate a little bit, and Uriah Hall doesn't have the best chin either. Both guys kind of have a trend of either finishing a fight or getting finished themselves. So if I were to make a pick in that main event, it would be for that fight between Uriah Hall and Anderson Silva to be finished inside the distance at minus 110.
Ian, awesome stuff as always, man. Let's chat next week.
Thank you very much, my friend. Take care. Best of luck to anyone who bets.